My name is Xuan Chung. I have translated more than 100 books in three languages. That is Chinese, English, and French.
Xu Yuanchong was one of the most famous and acclaimed translators in China. He died in June 2021 at the age of 100. Adored by many as a legend in the field of translation, he devoted his life to translating ancient Chinese classics into English and French and vice versa. For him, translation was a lifelong passion and a craft which needed constant perfecting.
I think the greatest joy in life is to create and find beauty. Why am I passionate about translating? Whenever I come up with a better version of a translation for a sentence than other translators or a previous version of mine, I will feel great joy. Such joy is huge, and no one can steal it from you.
In this edition of Footprints, we are commemorating him by retracing his life journey and his contribution to cultural exchanges between the Chinese, English, and French-speaking worlds. Stay tuned.
You've been listening to Footprints.
In February 2017, Xu Yuanchong, then 96 years old, took part in a nationally televised TV program called The Reader as an invited guest. Xu slowly walked onto the stage with the help of a cane and handed over a business card to the hostess. The card introduced him as the person whose translation works, numbering more than 100, had been published at home and abroad. In addition, it stated that he was the only one who had translated Chinese poetry into English and French. When the hostess read these words aloud, the audience was surprised by Xu's self-aggrandizement. But Xu immediately reaffirmed that this is a fact, with his passionate voice resonating across the stage.
Back in 1958, I had already published a Chinese to English book of poems, a Chinese to French book of poems, and an English to Chinese book of poems, as well as an English to French book of poems. At that time, no one else in the world had made such an achievement. No other person in the world could translate Chinese poetry into English and French, as well as translating English and French into Chinese in rhyme. What I have done is to translate Chinese beauty into Western beauty and Western beauty into Chinese beauty, thereby making the world even more beautiful.
Indeed, Xu's excellent translations between Chinese and English, as well as Chinese and French, are recognized around the world and regarded as great achievements. Works by this voluminous translator include Chinese to English versions of the Book of Poetry, selected poems of Du Fu, and the selected poems of Li Bai. His French or English to Chinese translations include The Red and the Black by Stendhal, Madame Bovary by Gustave Flaubert, In Search of Lost Time by Marcel Proust, and Shakespeare's plays. In 2010, the China Association of Translation conferred upon him its Lifetime Achievement Award. 4 years later, the International Federation of Translators granted him the Aurora Borealis Prize for Outstanding Translation of Fiction Literature, the highest award in the profession. By that time, Xu had become the first Asian translator to win the honor since the establishment of the prize in 1999. The International Federation of Translators gave him the prize for his outstanding translation of fiction literature and his devotion to building bridges among Chinese, English, and French-speaking peoples. Even in the last days of his life, Xu never stopped contributing to the pursuit of cross-cultural communication through the craft of translating. He was known to have worked from 10 p.m. in the evening to 3 or 4 a.m. in the early morning, even in his 90s. If you walked across the campus of Peking University in Beijing before June 2021, you may have noticed an illuminated window of an old building even in the middle of the night. Sitting beside the window may have been Xu stealing some hours from the night to do translation. For him, the tranquil night was the golden time of translation.
I work at night. The night does not belong to me. Just as an English poet once said, the best of all ways to lengthen our days is to steal some hours from the night. So I have been stealing some hours from the night to make up for the shortfall of the daytime.
Such diligence and work ethic meant Xu had an almost endless flow of new works being prepared for publishing during his lifetime. During his final years, Xu devoted himself to translating English playwright William Shakespeare's works into Chinese. On the eve of his 100th birthday on April 18, 2021, the Beijing-based commercial press published a collection of his translations of English literary classics, which included 14 of Shakespeare's plays. But how did Xu grow to become a master translator and maintain his passion for translation for a lifetime? Stay tuned to find out.
You've been listening to Footprints.
In 1921, Xu Yuancheng was born in the city of Nanchang in eastern China's Jiangxi province. At age 17, he was admitted to the National Southwest Associated University as a student of the English language in 1938. The university, based in the southwest city of Kunming, played a crucial role in both China's higher education and overall national history.
The National Southwest Associated University was different from today's Tsinghua and Peking universities. It was a combination of three famous universities, namely Tsinghua, Peking, and Nankai. These three universities were the jewels in the crown of the higher education of China at the time. At the time, Yang Zhenlin said the National Southwest Associated University was comparable to Harvard University of the United States. It may be even better than the latter.
The National Southwest Associated University was a product of war. In July 1937, the Japanese Imperial Forces launched an all-out invasion of China. Major Chinese cities, including Beijing, Tianjin, and the then national capital, Nanjing, fell to the invading forces one after another. As a result, the Chinese government, as well as industrial, cultural, and educational agencies and their personnel, fled to the hinterland for safety and for the continuation of resistance against aggression. Peking and Tsinghua universities from Beijing, then called Beiping, and Nankai University from Tianjin relocated to the city of Kunming, where they merged to become the National Southwest Associated University. Although the university only existed for 9 years, it was seen as a miracle in the history of higher education in China. In the middle of the war, the university educated much of the country's talent, maintained the cultural gene of the Chinese nation, and preserved the kindling of Chinese civilization. As a young undergraduate student at the university, Xu met with a host of outstanding scholars and talented fellow students who proved to be crucial for his life and career. Xu once said that 1939 was unusual for him. As a freshman in the National Southwest Associated University, he met his mentor Chen Zhongshu, a renowned Chinese scholar and writer. He also befriended Yang Chenning, the winner of the 1957 Nobel Prize in Physics. That year also saw his first translation work inspired by unrequited love for a pretty girl who sat beside him in class. To impress the girl, Xu, for the first time, translated a modern Chinese poem, Don't Cast Away, into English. The original poem, titled Bie Diu Diao in Chinese, was written by the renowned Chinese woman architect and writer Lin Huiying. Decades later, during a televised TV program in 2017, Xu couldn't hold back the powerful feelings he had felt when he first read and translated the poem.
Don't Cast Away is a poem written by Lin Huiying and dedicated to Xu Zhimu. Lin loved Xu Zhimu very much, but Lin had already married Liang Sicheng. Later, Xu Zhimu died in an air crash. Lin visited Xu's hometown and was touched by what she saw. Lin wrote, "The moon is still so bright. Beyond the hills, the lamps shed the same light. But I do not know where you are. It seems you hung above like dreams. Lin's feelings were deep. When I first read this poem, I thought Lin's feelings were very genuine and beautiful. So I translated it into English.
In the very beginning, she adopted an unorthodox approach to literary translation, and during his lifetime, he stuck to this approach. His work is more than literally translating words from one language to another. He adapted the original wording when necessary to make it readable and relatable to his target readers. Though his maiden translation didn't win him the heart of the girl he longed for, it marked the beginning of his epic journey working as a translator. At the end of 1940, she joined the army, serving as an interpreter for a group of U.S. pilots who were helping to defend China against Japanese invaders. Months later, he took part in a reception held for the group's commander, General Claire Lee Chennault. At the reception, she solved a communication difficulty between the Chinese and U.S. participants. She borrowed former U.S. President Abraham Lincoln's well-known phrase, "of the people, by the people, for the people," to reference Dr. Sun Yat-sen's Three Principles of the People.
I had read the Gettysburg Address by Abraham Lincoln when I was a grade 2 student at senior middle school. In the address, Lincoln referred to the government of the people, by the people, and for the people. So I thought these expressions could match the three principles of the people proposed by Dr. Sun Yat-sen.
Xu's quick-witted translation, though not necessarily truthful, was applauded by the Chinese and U.S. participants at the reception. It soon became a story on everyone's lips. His talent in translation began to be recognized by the people around him. In 1944, he entered the Institute of Foreign Literature Studies at Tsinghua University, studying plays by Shakespeare and John Dryden. From 1948 to 1950, he went abroad, learning at the University of Paris, where he further honed his language skills and studied plays by French dramatist Jean Racine. By 1958, he had published the Chinese version of John Dryden's play All for Love and Romain Rolland's novel Gola Poignon, and translated the poems of Chairman Mao Zedong into English and French. His treatment of a line of Mao's Militia Women inscription on a photograph has been often cited as an example by other translators, to face the potter and not to potter the face. In 1979, Xu first proposed the Three Beauties theory in a letter to scholar Zhu Guangqian. According to his theory, a good translator should convey the beauty in image, the beauty in sound, and the beauty in form to his readers in his translated works. Xu managed to be such a translator himself. From 1983, Xu taught at the School of Foreign Languages of Peking University. Since then, he has translated a wide range of Chinese classical literary works into English and French, such as Tang and Song dynasty poems like The Book of Poetry, Elegies of the South, and Dream in Peony Pavilion. He also translated many Western masterpieces into Chinese. Zhang Eugene von Koalis, professor of Chinese studies at the University of New South Wales in Australia, has said that Elegies of the South, translated by Xu, is a high peak even in English and US literature. The London-based Minerva Press has said that Xu's translation of Romance of the Western Power by Yuan Dynasty author Wang Shifu might vie with Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet in appeal and artistry. For Xu, translation was his lifelong passion and the source of joy.
I think the greatest joy in life is to create and find beauty. Why am I passionate about translating? Whenever I come up with a better version of a translation for a sentence than other translators or a previous version of mine, I will feel great joy. Such joy is huge, and no one can steal it from you.
Through his pursuit of excellence, Xu enabled English and French-speaking audiences to better understand the beauty of Chinese literature and the Chinese wisdom beneath. Chinese readers are also offered the opportunity to appreciate foreign works in the same way they would read novels and poems written in their mother tongue. He believes a translation should help readers understand, like, and enjoy the original.
Turning the beauty created in one country to the beauty enjoyed by all humanity is not only my aspiration, but also the aspiration of mankind.
He has long been practicing his original aspiration, transforming the beauty created by people in one language into a beauty shared by the entire world. He encourages young translators to follow in his footsteps to further bridge Chinese and world cultures.
We should make efforts to understand Chinese and Western cultures step by step. Then we can compare and contrast between them. This requires constant efforts, a journey which may have no ending.
Though revered by many as a legendary translator, he was never free of controversy. He believed that a translation should be as beautiful as, or even more than, the original. Regarding translation as an art, he encouraged innovation and creation, which stands in stark contrast to many other academics who advocate translation as a science and produce a strict equivalent of the original. But Xu firmly believed in his own way of translation.
My critics lay emphasis to the form in translation. I stress the meaning. They pay more attention to the form, while I pay attention to both the form and content. To me, the content is more important than the form. When the form is in line with the content, it's okay. If the form cannot truthfully represent the content, I will pay more attention to the content when translating.
Controversy aside, his translations are aesthetically pleasing. Examples of his extensive achievements are easily found, ranging from the Book of Poetry, the oldest collection of Chinese poetry, to the Confucian masterpiece Thus Spoke the Master. Xu's lifelong friend Yang Chenning also spoke highly of Xu's translation technique.
His translation of English poems into Chinese sounds like original Chinese poems. His translation of Chinese poems into English versions also sounds like real English poems. Such kind of excellence is what most translators are not able to achieve or are not willing to make the effort to attain. I think many readers like his translations.
Well known as a scientist, Yang is also an avid reader of classical Chinese literature. Xu first met Yang at an English class at the National Southwest Associated University in 1939. They were lifelong friends. Now let's take another break. Then in the final part of the story, we will take a look at what Xu was like in his private life. Stay tuned.
You've been listening to Footprints.
In his daily life, Xu enjoyed eating hamburgers, drinking Coca-Cola, riding a bike, and appreciating the beautiful campus scenery of Peking University with his wife Zhao Jun. The couple got married in 1959 when Xu was 38 years old. The two often strolled around Weiming Lake on the campus of Peking University hand in hand. On their stroll, they would find a bench, sit down, and then with ebullient spirit, Xu would recite his translation of Zhao Jun's favorite poem, Drinking at the Lake, composed by 10th century poet Su Shi.
The brimming waves delight the eyes in sunny day. Dimming hills give a real view in rainy hay. West Lake looks like the beauty of the West. Whether reached at dawn or finished best.
For almost 60 years, Zhao Jun took care of Xu's life and supported his career. In an interview in 2017, Zhao Jun said she deeply loved her husband.
I have never wavered in my 60 years of marriage with my husband, despite many difficulties we have encountered. My husband is a pure and true man. I think almost all the intellectuals of a similar age to my husband have had such qualities. They are almost immune to some prevalent ignoble desires, such as craving for wealth.
Zhao Jun died in 2018. Xu cried bitterly. Only his translations saved him from his sorrow. In 2007, at the age of 86, Xu was diagnosed with cancer and given just 7 years to live. But he conquered the disease and lived for another 14 years. The couple has a son, Xu Ming, who is also a translator. Before we go, let's listen to what Xu's translation of Chinese poems sound like. The poem was written by Chairman Mao and is recited by two of Xu's admirers. It begins with the line, "See what the northern countries show."
"See what the northern countries show. Hundreds of leagues ice-bound go. Thousands of leagues flies snow. Behold, within and without the great wall, the boundless land is clad in white, and up and down the yellow river, all the endless waves are lost to sight.
Mountains like a silver serpents dancing, highlands like waxy elephants advancing, all try to match the sky in height. Wait till the day is fine, and see the fair bask in sparkling sunshine. What an enchanting sight."
With that, we conclude this edition of Footprints. For our program producer, Ying Xiuqi, this is Lai Ming. Thanks for listening. Bye for now.